Very warm welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. Here's your host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is the best host ever, Dennis Bigolo.
Hello, everyone. So, in today's episode, we will start maybe a little serious about programming. Today, we will start with a little introduction just to clear up what is programming, what is periodization, how should your year look like, how should your day look like, and what are deloads. So just a little introduction in everything. And in the future, we will dive deep into some of these themes more. So you ready?
I'm damn ready.
Nick, what is programming?
Whew. The difference, I think, between programming and periodization should be a little bit cleared out. As periodization is a little bit more of the big picture. So in periodization, when we talk about that topic, that's more of how you plan like a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, a decade or something. First of all, said about that, periodization about a decade or something is pretty much not possible. You just can have like a little script of something, but it's not exactly, it's not going to happen exactly like you planned it over 10 years.
It can be an idea. Like in 5 years, I want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But planning out 5 years is kind of difficult.
Planning out a year is a lot easier.
Exactly.
A lot easier. You will not plan every session out, but you definitely can say by the beginning of a year, if you know an athlete pretty well, you probably pretty much know where he's going to be by the end of the year. When it comes to stuff like weighted calisthenics and street lifting.
Yeah.
I think in skills, it's a little bit more difficult as it's not that planable.
Now, skills is more, you have these phases, but working like in very, like 1 year periodization, it doesn't work like in weighted calisthenics. Like you have structures that are the same. So you have macro and micro cycles, but you work towards a goal more than to an intensivity phase. So like holding a difficult version of your skill, you can look at it as your intense month or season where you reach the goals, where you plan to reach the goals and hold this difficult exercise. And the rest of the time is more the easier versions of this exercise where you put a lot of volume in. So in principle, it is actually the same, just they manifest in a different form.
Yeah. What I think about skills is I think the time, how much it takes to learn a new skill is not really measurable.
Exactly.
But what I think is to plan some more, like you have a planche of like 4 seconds and you want to have a planche of 15 seconds. I think that's much more planable as you already earned that skill. And it's just about how to just get longer holding times and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like a bit more planable.
Exactly. It's like that. You won in 3 months or 4 months or 6 months, reach a certain amount of seconds you can hold a certain version of your skill, to then in an intense phase switch to the harder version to work on that version and then start building volume on that one again, reach a certain amount of strength in that skill to then keep going. And it's exactly the same like in weighted, where you have like this little, like you can imagine like a curve that goes up and down, being volume and intensity. and you have phases where the volume is higher and the exercises are easier, and where the intensity is higher and the exercise is harder.
All right. Then I think that's a good introduction. Let's dive a little bit deeper into this. Let's talk about how you have to plan, like, maybe a year in general. For me, I would say first thing you have to check is, okay, is there a certain date where you want to reach a certain goal? Yeah, like, okay, in 1 year from now, there's maybe a competition I want to be at for people in weighted calisthenics and stuff. Or maybe someone who's in more into skills, I want to hold my plunge from 5 to 15 or 20 seconds, yeah, or learn a plunge. Yeah. For some or people, it's
go from the straddle to the full plunge, for example.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. Just to have a date and a goal. Yeah, I think that's the first step you have to make, and then you set this big year into different steps. Mm-hmm. And that's in the end, that's the periodization you do. So what do you have to do for that? So when it comes to that, you first of all, I think the first thing you always should check is building up a proper technique in all your stuff. Checking out weaknesses, and that's what the first block should be about. And this block can take from maybe 4 weeks to 12 weeks, where you just work on your technique and work on some weaknesses that can be, is my shoulder girdle the limiting factor for the planche? So is my protraction just shit? So maybe I have to work on my serratus, mm-hmm, to really make that stronger to get a better planche. Or is it maybe for people who work in weighted calisthenics and street lifting, is it maybe the explosiveness of my muscle up? Do I have to work on that?
Or is it the transition?
Exactly. Yeah. The small stuff. Where's the problem? What do I have to do for that? I'm gonna do that until it's fixed.
Yeah.
And that's what you do in the first part of this periodization year.
Yeah.
So
maybe some. Just some words we will use so it's clear for everyone. So when we talk, we can talk about a year, and then you divide that up in so-called macro cycles,
yes,
which go from usually 3 to even 6 months. I mean, it depends. Usually one macro cycle is around 3 months. And then you have the mesocycles, which is 1 month, which is part of the macro cycle, and then you have the micro cycle, which is the week. So if we use these words, so you understand what we mean. Sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's perfect. It was really important.
So because I know we will start throwing these words around, and maybe people are like, what the hell are they talking about? So it's out of the way, and we can talk.
So for every listener, having this kind of micro cycle, that's usually your training week,
mm-hmm,
and your next thing is the mesocycle. Having that is like several weeks in a line.
Exactly.
That can be up from. Some people program it like, okay, we have like 3 weeks and then we deload, and sometimes this can take up to 12 weeks.
Yes, yeah. I gave this one.
Oh, thank you, Google. that can go up to 12 weeks. That can also be like a mesocycle. And then from there, that's kind of a block.
Yeah, and the division between blocks is always the deload, which takes part.
So you have some weeks of training. This is your block. Then comes the deload, and then comes the next block.
Exactly.
And this can still be part of the same macro cycle.
Yeah.
So if you have like maybe 5 weeks of working on your technique, then comes the deload because the body needs it. So this is time where you kind of rest and you can, I think we're going to have
only about deloading now.
I think that's a good thing. But from there, you just give your body a little bit rest, give some more time to recover, and then you start into the next block. And this block can still be working on your technique and weaknesses.
Yeah.
Until it's done.
Yeah. It doesn't mean like some people have done this very strict idea about macrocycles and it happens. Okay. Yeah. I did 1 month of volume now. Now I have to switch to intensity or something like that. No, you don't. Like if there's more work to be done there and if it's going well and you're making great progress and your championship isn't 2 months from now, you can keep going. Like that's, you keep building up. And yeah, if there's still technique work to be done, you still keep working on your weak points. And working on technique, it's something that you just don't stop. Like it's still a process that keeps going continuously because
for your life.
Yeah, for your life. Like if your lifts get heavier, your exercises get different too. In weighted and in skills, like it's completely a new thing. So it's not that you stop working on technique after your technique block, but it's not your main focus, let's say.
Yeah, and the next thing you should think about is that you do not only have this one focus in your life of technique. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that needs to be said, as some people focus too much on technique.
Yeah.
As I'm a big fan of a good technique, but there's a difference of having a kind of perfect technique and having a good technique. I think what you should have is a good technique, and then the focus should be on progress.
Yeah, I think so too. Still
developing your technique all the time. But some people, they just get caught up in the thought of everything needs to be just always perfect. And there's just this little tiny muscle fiber not working as I want it. I can't put on the next progression or the more weight because this little muscle fiber didn't work the way I liked it to be.
And I think if you look like big coaches in powerlifting too, for example, they don't like, they're not too keen on technique all the time. Like when the technique is okay, you keep going. And then you always tweak stuff over the years because the little differences, they happen over the years and they don't happen in one macro cycle. In one macro cycle, you can build a good basic to work on without injuring yourself. But the little finesse, the little details, which make the difference in an elite level or like a higher level of the sport, they develop over years. They don't develop overnight.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's very important to say for that part. From here on, for most people in calisthenics, the next goal should be to build more muscle mass. As that is something some people are really, really scared of. And but I put on weight and then I'm not going to be that good. To be honest, looking at that, do you have an idea how the muscle, the rate of muscle growth, how it is? It's not like you're going to put on 10 kg in a year on pure muscle mass. That's not going to happen. If we are talking about lean muscle mass, the usual amount of muscle mass you build up is like maybe 4 kg in a year.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that when you're a complete beginner, but then you absolutely need it, that in the first year, like you put on between 7 or over 7 kilograms of muscle mass, but that's the first year. From there on, like, it goes down in an extremely fast rate, and you reach a point where you can build up, like, I don't know, under 1 kilogram, 0.8, something like that, 0.4 to 0.8 kilograms of lean mass a year. So be aware of that. It gets slow at some point, and that's if you're natural. Yeah.
So your goal in the next phase of your periodization should be to build really more muscle mass, because the more muscle mass you have, the more potential is in your body to build more strength. Yeah. And it's possible to build strength while you build up muscle. That's the big thinking point here. So your technique is here. Now it's time to build up some more muscle mass. And from there, you have to adapt that into the strength part that comes up by the end of the year. So for a complete year, if you have that time frame, it's the best way to really separate that into like three phases, having the part of like technique, hypertrophy, and strength. And what you definitely can do here is mixing that up through the year. So having like 8 weeks of technique, 8 weeks of hypertrophy, 8 weeks of strength, and then do it all again.
Yeah. And exactly. And then every macro cycle, you will start and be better than the last macro cycle. And you know your volume block in 6 months from now will start with weights that are way higher than your macro cycle you start now. And you will see how you progress. And it's like this, you can imagine like this little curve I was talking about. You can imagine two curves. Like there's a big one, which starts with technique and starts from the bottom. You have not too much volume. You work a lot on technique. The volume goes up over the year, goes up. And then when the preparatory phase for your championship is, starts going down and the intensity gets higher. And in this big like Gaussian curve, like normal distributed curve, you can imagine, you have little curves going up and down all the time. And those are the phases where the volume gets higher, and the tendency towards the end is always volume first, like you work on technique, the volume gets higher in a macro cycle and then slowly switches over to higher intensity phases, which are very important, like even for athletes. And that's something I'm starting to see, that like do bodybuilding, and where volume is the driving factor, because more volume, more muscle mass, they're starting to implement more like intense phases, because it helps with general hormone balance and like still testing your strength and getting stronger still activates, like lifting heavy weights activates all your muscle fibers and can be very like have a very positive effect on muscle growth too. That depends from person to person. And generally, I would say it makes sense from a hormonal standpoint too, because when you run a very, very high volume for a long time, testosterone tends to go down. And in higher intensity phases where the volume is not as high, people, like, you tend to replenish it. And you can see it like as a hormonal deload almost, which helps you to then enter a volume phase with more strength and just move more weight, build more volume, build more mass. You can imagine like a tank, the tank that you can fill up with water, which is the weight you can move, gets bigger and bigger. So muscle mass is a good thing. Of course, if you do skills, you will have to think like there's a point where there is too much muscle mass, or it makes it harder and you need more time to reach certain skills. It's not completely linear. Like the more muscle mass you have, the longer you will hold your planche. It's not not like that.
There we are, the tank again, because when you build up the tank, now you have to fill it up with water, what means strength.
Exactly.
So that's what you always have to do. You build up that tank, and then you have to fill it up with water. So that where the people just always make the mistake. They may build up a lot of tank but didn't fill it up, or they always have a full tank and have too much water in there, and then it just stagnates. So
exactly.
That's what you have to do. You have to build up the tank, fill it up with water, and then build up the tank again.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
It's something I tell my clients too, working like we work a lot with weights too, and people want to get bigger and stronger. And I tell them from the beginning, we can do that. We love to do that. That's what we want from you, from our athletes. But be aware that the skills you have, it will be harder for some time. And the moment you get heavier, it stagnates. And it can be that you have to switch to an easier variation until you get comfortable with that weight and the muscle mass you have. And you start filling up the tank again. That's bigger now. And then you can keep progressing until a certain point. Of course, like if you're 100 kilogram muscle beast, it's gonna be harder because tendons play a big role in skills, and they don't have the capacity to grow like muscle has, and they have their limits. And if you're too heavy, it just gets very, very stressful on them. And that's that.
Tendons and ligaments, it's always a thing. That's the same for when you have weighted stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the tendons and ligaments, maybe for the knee, they also have to adapt on the weight you're squatting. I mean,
exactly.
It's not like, okay, weighted, it's different. No, it's always the same. Yeah. And it's because it's strength sport. And that's what you have to keep an eye on as an athlete, that you're not, it's not like, I got stronger, everything in my body is now ready to do so.
Yeah.
So take your time with that. But
and that's why you need deloads and time off. And that's maybe a thing we could talk about too. Like if you look at a whole year, it makes sense after a competition, for example, when you went through the whole thing, you had your phases where you build up strength and muscle. You had your strength phases where you saw your results, and then you start up again and reach the point where you have you're in your best shape and you have your championship, and then it's good to take some time off too. I think that's a thing in calisthenics generally that people forget, like they're all day every day, and that's not productive. Like people generally, if you look at professional sports, people take some time off, especially after they had some championships or something like that. They don't do anything for even 1 or 2 weeks and completely let the body regenerate, which sounds something like extreme and crazy for some people. But if you strain your body, because it's a big stress on your body, for a whole year, 2 weeks in 1 year is not a lot of time for your body to really recover. And maybe every 2 years, but generally like, it's something I've learned. Take your time off. It's super, super, super important.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Also for your mental.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Because if you have to put in everything every time of the year, it just takes so much energy from you. Yeah. So take your time off. Do that. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, and it's not going to set you back, or you have a little setback. Really, as quote, it's not come back stronger, but it is not a setback. It's a step in the right direction because you won't hurt yourself and you will manage to keep going for a longer time and not get injured. And I think that's one big point when talking about programming. The first, before you even think about periodization or programming, the first idea you have to have is adherence. Can I really do this program? Because you can think about your program as much as you want and make it as complex as you want and put in all the fancy accessory work you want. But But if you can't train 6 times a week, why do you write a plan for 6 times a week?
That's so important, that point. I mean, in the beginning, I loved to write programs for 6 days of a week for people.
We all had that phase, right?
from the point where I'm at now, most of my athletes train 4 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't go lower. I would never go lower than that. But 4 days a week is for most people really the best thing, because all of us have a life. We have to work. We have family and stuff. I mean, that's something you don't think about when you're like a student or going to school or something. But for those who really have a normal life, like a job, family, friends, yeah. I mean, that's a lot better to put training like that into life. Yeah. Most people I know train like 4 to 5 days a week. And most of them have, if they have 5 days, they have a fifth day that's pretty light. Yeah. Just accessory stuff.
It's interesting. It's an evolution completely the same, like with my own training and with my clients. Started off with more days, and over time it got less. And the results are just better. And then it depends. There's people that don't have that much stress outside of training, and they can train more and they can bring results. But it's something I experienced on myself too. This year has been very, very busy for me. Probably the busiest year in my life, and with everything going on. For the first time in 7 years, I only train 4 days a week. And the progress is extreme, like super good. Yeah. And I feel better. I feel more energized. I can work more too, like, and get more stuff done. It's like less often is more. And like you said, I think we have maybe one client that has 3 days of hard work and one light day, but always 4 days. And it's like people that are, for example, heavier and bigger, where the stress is bigger on the muscles too, especially if working on skills. And just, I mean, there's always, like, you can't have a fixed rule. It's always very individual. But I think it's a good point that people hear that you don't have to kill yourself 7 days a week.
So what I really have to say here before we switch to from periodization to programming, thing is, the higher the intensities for the individual person, the more rest you need. So what means if you have really, really heavy weights, and I'm talking about really heavy weights, not like 100 kg squat, that's not a weight. I'm talking about people who squat more than 200 or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's the people who need more rest. They just train less during the week because the workload they have is higher.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Yeah, you need to have a program that you can actually recover from. And that's something that's not always about volume. That's also about intensities. And that's the stuff where it gets into the details, where we will come back in later episodes, definitely. To come from periodization to programming, this is where we talk about the stuff, how you actually manage to write really the plan that you do on a day.
Exactly. Programming, it doesn't go over 1 week. Like, if you program something, it's like you do from day to day, it's 1 week, but everything that goes over like the 1 week period already starts going in direction. Periodization. So,
but sometimes you have like A week and B week. But in the end, usually it's a week. What we are talking about, and what you should be aware of, there are some rules of thumb to keep that in here. I think one thing is try to work every muscle group like 2 times a week. I know that this is not something you must do.
Yeah,
because also the bro split can work for those who are more into hypertrophy and stuff. But that's a rule of thumb that works for most people.
And it's in calisthenics, which is pretty, let's say, skill based, no matter what exercise, it's still good to have a bit higher frequency in the movements, because you get used to doing the movement, and you, like, if you do it once a week, it's just, you have to get into the movement again. If you do pull-ups 3 times a week, like, you don't. You're there. Only thing you have to do is progress, nothing else. Yeah.
That's it. All right. That's the rule of thumb. And I think another thing, very important, talking about volume, from the scientific point of view, right now it is to say that for each muscle group, you should have in between 20 to 30 sets mm-hmm. per week.
Yeah.
But I have to say for that, it's like always, it depends.
Yeah.
There are people who are more on the lower range of that. Maybe some people just do like 15.
Yeah. I mean, 10 is like the minimum, which seems to you really need to grow. And from there, it's up to 30, but some people even do more.
Like, I mean, I had athletes who did like 40 to 50.
Yeah, especially in calisthenics, I think, where you have like movements like the pull-up, where you use your whole back, let's say, you'll hit some of those muscles just very often with other exercises too, especially if you integrate skills. So it gets
That's it. But that's the rule of thumb. And when it comes to intensity phases, make sure to have like, because that's something most people tend to lack on, make sure to do like 15 reps over something like a, if it comes to competition and you're in a like a peaking, make sure to have like round about 15 reps of a certain movement during a day. So that means in the practical thing,
doesn't mean 15 heavy muscle ups in one session.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean you can have like maybe 5 heavy muscle ups,
mm-hmm.
and then having sets of you have 10 reps left. Now you can fill up with like heavy pull-ups after that.
Yeah.
So because you will fatigue very much after some heavy, really heavy muscle ups. You will feel that.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be explosive for 15 sets. It's just not the case. So but some people can, and this is again, this is very individual, but don't lock your mind into, I have to do 15 reps of muscle ups on a day. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is another rule of thumb we have here. But to come to the programming of a day, I think a good thing here is to go down from a technical thing like a muscle up, or if you have to train it, a handstand push up, or maybe even something technical on a planche or something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first exercise you do. Then you come to the strength part, mm-hmm. which can be weighted pull-ups. Yeah. That's the case for weighted and also for skill-based people. As I know that you let your people train weighted
pull-ups. They all have weighted pull-ups, weighted dips, and squats. Actually, so
from there we go to an assistance exercise, which can be something like a rowing movement, or maybe sometimes also a Gironda sternum pull-up or something like that, depending on the level of the athlete, of course.
The accessory work like needs to look at the weak points, and generally you work on them, and usually weak points are like your rear delt, and you do some work for that, or it's the transition in the muscle up, and you do some work for that, or it's the lower part of the handstand push up. You have something that hits that, or banded work, or for skills, for example, very, very similar. You have like, you use easier versions of the skill. Let's say you have a full front lever usually, and you use still the advanced tucked front lever. You have the full front lever as first exercise. Then you have some weighted pull-ups and weighted dips, for example. And then in accessory work, you work on raises because activating your shoulder blades is the biggest problem. Or you have dragon flags if you always lose your hips, something like that. Yeah.
And that's very important from this technical thing. There comes the strength thing. Then there comes the assistance thing. This is what Dennis just said. And then comes the accessory. And that's the stuff where we talk about, that's now the really small stuff, like isolated movements, like you already said. Here comes now stuff for the weirdos that can be like butterfly reverse, maybe some curls and stuff like that. So you come from technical to strength to assistance to accessories. There we go. I think that's the best way to handle a day. So you have like at least 4 exercises a day, but you can fill that up until the certain amount of volume you need for for your goal in that.
For your goal and you can handle and that your session doesn't take like 10 hours.
Yeah, that's very important.
take this things in consideration. Yeah, I think that was a good introduction. I think we said everything that's to say in the beginning. I mean, it's a very, very complex theme. And if you are interested in more details, we will pick topics and work on them more, maybe deloads or different kinds of periodization, because there's lots of different ways you can periodize a program. And yeah.
That's mostly it. Yeah. If you have any topics about that, in that topic, you want to know more about, let us know. Shoot us a message on Instagram to Strength and Skills Podcast so that we can maybe put that into one of the next shows.
After regulation.
Yes. All right. If you see that you have to work on that all that stuff and you don't know where to begin and all this, you can definitely also shoot us messages. I think Dennis, you're also able to contact on Instagram. I think that's exactly. Dennis.
Dennis _ Kallis or Stenix _.
Perfect.
Yeah.
For me, you can contact me at nick.thibault. Nick Thibault, or maybe if you like to contact me there, that's Barbell Coaching. All right. We hope you have a good day. Let us know how you liked the episode. Please feel free to share it on your social media.
Yeah.
And we hope you have a good time.